leader on the ultimate goal of establishment of Islamic civilization. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, delivered a memorable speech to the nation via video conference on 17th of May, with the participation of several university student groups, professors and lecturers, some of whom, before His Eminence's guidelines, expressed their viewpoints on the current affairs of the country. Stay with us for the third of four parts into which we have divided the leader's speech. Stay with us. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, continuing his guidelines to young people, the younger generation, said, "The second word of advice is to strengthen one's ideological principles. This is very important. Thankfully, there are many broad-minded persons among you, as you think and work on many matters, but since long ago, amongst young people, including in universities, have been subject to certain detriments. There are actually two big detriments jeopardizing young people. One is passivity and another is deviation. Passivity means feeling that your hands are tied and that you are no value and you have no hope of being able to face difficult events. This could be remedied with the previous word of advice. When your spiritual ties with God Almighty are firm, you will not be passive in any way. Deviation too, ideological deviation and deviation from one's principles, is remedied with the same word of advice." Notice that in the beginning of the Islamic Revolution, we had young people who were Muslims and who had entered the arena for the sake of Islam, but because they had a shaky ideology and because their ideological values were not solid, for whatever reason, they joined up with false synthesized groups and they changed from pious, healthy, Islamic and religious youth to elements who aimed guns at their own compatriots. They shot at other young people, at the elderly and at shopkeepers, and they committed those horrible crimes. Because of their weak ideological basis, they ganged up with those corrupt groups and they were pushed into those paths, and they finally ended up under the flag of Saddam. All of this happened because of ideological instability. And there were other individuals at that time. I knew many of them. Before the Islamic Revolution, I was familiar with many youth who were members of various groups, who stood firm because they had correct ideological principles. They would read Ayatollah Murtaza Mutahhari's books and they were familiar with the viewpoints of the famous exegete of the Holy Quran, Allama Tabatabai, and with Mata Ayatollah Baqir al-Sadr. Therefore, they had a solid ideological and intellectual basis, and as a result, they stood really firm. However, some had shaky foundations and they were unfortunately lost. And there were some who used to do revolutionary activities in the beginning of the revolution, but who gave up their activities later on. They called themselves the regretful. One of the problems of the revolution is the issue of regretful elements, those who were revolutionaries one day but later turned away from the revolution. Ayatollah Khamenei pointed out, such things happen because of shaky ideological basis. When one's ideological base is weak, one cannot naturally preserve his or her beliefs in the face of events, questions and doubts, and fails to be steadfast on the straight path. That is why I believe that you should pay attention to religious and ideological matters. Notice that the supplication that I pointed out, number 20 of Imam Zainul Abidin Sahifa al-Sajjadiyya, the supplication known as Makarim al-Akhlaq, or Noble Moral Traits, says, "O God, bring my faith to perfection and make my certitude the best of certitudes." Note the speaker in the prayer says that he or she has certitude but wishes it to be perfect. it goes on to say, guide my intentions until they become the best of intentions, and make my actions the best of actions. This is an amazing supplication. I recommend that young people familiarize themselves with the Makarim al-Akhlaq supplication of the Sahifa as-Sajjadiyya. Of course, all supplications in Sahifa as-Sajjadiyya are extraordinary. In other words, Sahifa as-Sajjadiyya is not about one or two prayers. Now I mentioned the Makarim al-Akhlaq supplication, but the next supplication, that is number 21, is also astonishing in another way. The same is true of various other supplications in this extraordinarily valuable book. However, you can select supplication 20, that is the dua or the supplication Makarim al-Akhlaq on perfecting noble moral traits and benefit from it. Fortunately, there are good translations of Sahifa as-Sajjadiyya. I looked at four translations, and to be fair, they were very good and reliable translations. You should refer to and benefit from them. This is my second word of advice to you, dear ones. My third advice to you is that you should not put down the flag of insistence on unreasonable demands. All these discussions and debates that you had here for around an hour and a half were about insisting on demands. Sometimes I was the addressee, and sometimes my office and other organizations were your addressees. You should not stop insisting, but you should not stop being idealist. Some of the things that you demand might not be possible, and this is the truth of the matter. When we enter into the arena of action, the problems on the ground become clearer to us, and we tangibly see that some of the things that we were demanding beforehand are either impossible or difficult to achieve in the short term. The leader of the Islamic Revolution continued by saying, however, the very essence of idealism is valuable because without idealism, we will lose the path. Idealism prevents us from losing our path or from deviating from the straight path. Therefore, you should abide by your idealism. You should preserve important ideals such as justice, independence, lack of corruption, and ultimately the realization of the Islamic civilization. The main, the real, and the ultimate ideal is the establishment of an Islamic civilization. You should not miss out, and you should demand and contemplate, but insist on one's demands should be done in a reasonable way. I have written down 2 points about insistence on demands. I think it will be good to discuss them. The first point is that demands are usually accompanied by some kind of protest, while the existence of demands signifies that there is a shortcoming that we wish to eliminate. That is what a demand is. Therefore, it is accompanied by complaints. However, you should not allow your insistence and your complaints be interpreted as protest against the Islamic government. This is the important point because the enemy is lurking around for this. Sometimes you might have some complaints about the stock market or about the price of a car, for instance, and you express your complaints. But the enemy interprets them as protests against the Islamic government because of the way you voice them, and it conveys the message that it was a protest against the system. Therefore, you should not let this happen, and you should seriously try to prevent the enemy from having an opportunity to have this interpretation of your complaint and to convey this message to his audience. The second point is that it is good for you to be carrying the flag of demand, but if you put it down, it might be picked up by those whose goal is not to solve the people's problems, but whose real goal is to confront and fight Islam, the Islamic Republic, and the Islamic government. You should not let this happen either. Of course, Marxist leftism, which has always pursued such matters, does not have any credibility in the world anymore. This orientation suffers from deep paucity. They really have nothing to present in terms of ideas and, as they themselves put it, in terms of theories. They also suffer from deep paucity in terms of politics. All their bosses and big personalities surrendered to the United States and to the Zionist regime. They also surrendered to monarchists, Therefore, they suffer from paucity in terms of ideology, politics, and practicality. In other words, they do not have active and self-sacrificing individuals prepared to enter these arenas. Therefore, they are really nothing, but in any case, there are always people who wish to take advantage of good and proper slogans. If you abandon these slogans, they might be usurped by such individuals. And this is another important point. The leader added, "My fourth advice to you is that insistence on one's demands does not only mean making criticism and protesting, although lodging protest is a part of having a demand. Criticism should be accompanied by proposals. Of course, certain proposals were put forward today, some of which are acceptable and some of which can be studied. However, the young groups of people who hear these statements and who are active in these domains should pay attention that we will get nowhere with sheer criticism and sheer protest. This will not exert a serious and permanent impact, although they might pay off a little bit in the beginning. What pays off is putting forward proposals. Notice that in Islam, forbidding evil is accompanied by enjoining good. Forbidding evil is the same as protest, and enjoining to do good means making a proposal and putting forward suggestions. In other words, saying what can be done to resolve a problem. These two always go together. Therefore, you should definitely accompany your demands with practical proposals, suggestions, and good and accepted solutions. Besides, you should not be aggressive when insisting on your demands. This is my serious request to you. Of course, you spoke very politely to me today, and I'm grateful for that, but in the past, both before and during my presidency, I used to face aggressive behavior in my visits to different universities, but I did not react. I could get along with such behavior, but in the confrontations between this humble person whilst taking those podiums and the group of people who were making harsh criticisms, he who would be defeated was not me. Today, too, you thankfully spoke very well, but sometimes officials show their presence in universities and in such and such academic and youth centers in order to talk, but they are treated in a harsh manner. You complain that such and such officials refused to attend an academic debate, despite the fact that they were invited to it. I too have frequently advised officials to talk to students in universities and to justify their actions. I share your idea, but they say in response that wherever they go, the goal of those who gather in those centers is not to understand the issues, rather, their goal is to attack. That is why they do not show their presence there. I strongly request that you should not block the path of dialogue. When the issue is about attacking, insulting, mudslinging and the like, the outlet for dialogue is naturally blocked. You should not let this happen. You should speak in a reasonable and you should put forward cogent arguments. Of course, some comments might be mixed with a tinge of pungency, and there is nothing wrong with that. Speaking in a straightforward manner does not contradict avoiding aggression, insult, and the like. Ayatollah Khamenei added, "My fifth advice to you is about creating discourse, which I touched upon at the beginning of my statements. One of the blessings of meetings with you young people and students, and meeting with the younger generation, these meetings are held once a year, but we had more frequent meetings before that, is the creation of discourse. When you discuss an issue, your message spreads here and there, and other young people and other people hear it. Then there will be a different outlook. These outlooks are the same as discourse. In other words, it creates a certain intellectual orientation in society, which is really valuable. My request is that university students' orientations attach significance to discourse construction. You should identify and think about issues Then you should put forward reasonable and solid proposals and discuss them within society. Of course, national media should also help out. Without a doubt, national media should help. In recent years, national media have set up young, enthusiastic and revolutionary departments, but the friends in the area of media did not pay attention to them. However, the views of young people and proposals that they put forward should receive attention seriously until a discourse is built within society. When a discourse is built, the public will give a warmer reception to young leading groups. In other words, the people will welcome them, and this will have its effect on appointment of top managers and directors. The solution for the problems of the country is the establishment of a young and Hezbollahi and God-orientated administration. Well, that was the third of four parts of the speech of the leader of the Islamic Revolution to groups of university students, professors and lecturers. Tune in tomorrow for the fourth and final part of the leader's speech. Until then, goodbye and God bless.